Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today, I'm joined by the Jay Schwedelson to talk through audience segmentation, which is one of Jay's favorite topics of all time. That said, Jay, thank you so much for joining me today.
I am excited. Audience segmentation, that is my favorite topic. We're going to crush it.
So, Jay, when we talk about the idea of audience segmentation, I want to just start by a simple question of what does that functionally mean?
Well, it's even beyond what it means. It has to be something that you are doing in every program that you're doing. If you're not segmenting an audience, then you're marketing to nobody. Because when you market to everybody, that is a fail, right? And there are audiences within audiences within audiences. Whatever your product or service is, you are trying to get that message in front of a particular audience. It's not for everybody. So the first thing you have to do is say, who is this thing for? Great. This is for HR professionals that are trying to work on their MarTech stack. Amazing. So now when you're going after that audience, right, you're not just marketing to a company that would need your product or service, that HR software. You're marketing to a very specific person within that company that's potentially in market for that thing. So you're trying to really segment your audience based on what your product or service is. And once you do that, then you can crush it and make that roadmap to success.
And I love the call out of we're specifically trying to market to an individual within the context of a specific company. Like I've talked with a couple of people and they're like, we pulled this list of the Fortune 5000 and that's our audience segmentation. It's like, well, no, you're just shouting at a bunch of people that are big companies. So for you, as you start to think through first finding the initial audience before you've got the audience within the audience, like how are you first clarifying these are the kinds of companies that we want to go after?
Yeah. So the company part is important, right? Is it industry, right? What industries is your product service really a good fit for? What is the size of company? Is it good for a small business, mid-market, enterprise level, right? Real basic stuff. Obviously, geography is a US or global or things of that nature, but then even sub-industry, right? So are you going after companies that are really in the consumer and packaged good category? And even within that, you know, is there a subcategory within there? The more that you can kind of get granular in terms of who you're going after, the better it's going to be because you're going to save a lot of marketing budget. The biggest marketing budget is wasted when you're not narrowing in on really who you're going after. And then once you know the company, you know, to what you said earlier, it's the person or people within that company. And I will tell you the biggest fail that I see in audience segmentation is that people go after people that have certain job titles. I want to only market this to HR directors at a company, right? As opposed to going after somebody's function that they work in. What do I mean by that? There are 25 million businesses in the United States. Okay, if we talk about HR, because it's just on my mind, right? And you're going after HR directors. At all these 25 million different businesses, the title that somebody has is not always HR director. Right, HR senior manager, HR whatever, human resource, whatever. When you target somebody by a title and that's how you're doing audience segmentation, there's literally hundreds of thousands of permutations of that title. And that's where people lose a lot of the ability to market to the right people. But when you go after somebody's function, right, they have the responsibility of making HR decisions. When you go after the function, you will capture all those hundreds of thousands of different permutations of that title. And so one of the biggest fails in audience segmentation is marketing to somebody trying to target their title instead of targeting their function, because essentially that is who you want. You want the person who has the responsibility, not that weird specific title that you think they have. And I know that's a tangent, but that is a crusher to me.
And I, again, couldn't agree more. I once was promoted from marketing director to director of growth, and I stopped getting a lot of messaging and outbound and targeted ads because people stopped targeting me because I didn't have marketing in my title. And it was a huge miss because I actually got greater budget to make a larger impact on the organization. So totally. Great call out. That said, as you talk about this idea of first starting at the category and then getting into subcategory and subcategory, one of the greatest challenges when we think about segmentation to that level is, you know, there's, for a lot of data enrichment platforms, there's not just like a press this button to get SaaS. And some people say that they target SaaS. So I'm curious, as you talk about that idea of further segmentation by subcategory, what are some of the recommendations that you've got for that?
Yeah, that is so true, because all the different platforms, you know, they rely on, you know, SIC code for the most part, right? Which is your industry classification code. And what a lot of marketers do is they say, okay, we're going after people in this SIC code. And there's 2-digit SIC code, 4, 6, and 8-digit SIC code. And people don't really realize that. When they're going into these platforms, they're looking at somebody in a particular industry. So a 2-digit SIC code would be something like business services. That is the most irrelevant thing on the planet. Like, what? That's every company. That's okay. So when you're trying to do your audience segmentation, you really want to figure out what are the industries, the sub industries that are in the, what are the 4-digit, the 6-digit, the 8-digit SIC codes. Go really deep. And the way that you want to reverse engineer it is you find 5 to 10 companies that are perfect, right, for your product or service. These are exactly who should be using our stuff. You look up, every company has their SIC codes assigned to them. You look up their 8-digit SIC code for those 10 companies, the 6-digit SIC code for those companies, the 4-digit for those companies, and they say, okay, this is what they're listed in. Now all I need to do is go into that SIC code bucket and pull all the companies that are in that same SIC code. And that's how you can reverse engineer really the segments that you want to be going after. And most people don't look at it that way. And I think that that's a fail.
I think that's actually one of the most practical pieces of advice that I've heard on specifically targeting. And I mean, essentially roundabout ICP development of just looking at your best 6, 7, 8 customers and then reverse engineering it to understand the categories that they're listed in. That is genius. So we've gotten that subcategory, and really this sounds like the best way to actually potentially develop a target account list. Now I'm curious, once you've actually gotten the right people, what are some of the other abilities to then segment even further to nuance the messaging?
Yeah, it also, it depends on what you have access to. So one of the things that I love to do, if you can kind of play around with all these systems, is to look at the path that that company is on that you're marketing to, right? So if you look at, for example, year-over-year growth, right? A company a year ago, how many employees do they have? Oh, they had 30. Now they have 100. That company is growing. They're definitely in market for more stuff, right? Or it's revenue growth. Their revenue last year was $1 million. Now a year later, it's $5 million. So being able to isolate out companies that are the fastest growing companies allow you to really, again, it's all about your marketing budget. You only have so many dollars. And every time you market to somebody that doesn't have the potential to spend with you because they're not in a growth mode, they're maybe too broad of a category industry that you've marketed to, they're not the right responsibility in the job function that they have. Every time that you market to one of those people, it's literally like you're burning money. So the more that you can kind of narrow this down, say, oh, I'm finding the fastest growing companies, perfect, I'll spend my budget there because they have the greatest likelihood to be able to spend money with me. That's constantly what you have to say in your head is, how do I continue to shrink that pie to go after the people that are best fit for my product or service?
And I think that is a perfect way to think about the first approach for subcategories and SIC codes is right people. And then what you just outlined is right time. So again, they have a growing headcount. They have growing revenue. They just raised a round. Like, these are all market signals that indicate these people have the budget. And now the question is, do they have the right problem? And that's where you can then dig even further. So I'm curious, as you then think through distribution channels for kind of these awareness level programs, because we haven't talked about it, are any kind of first party engagement signals. It sounds like we're thinking through all of this. These are all people that we want to know. We want them to know that we exist. So I'm curious, as you think about then distribution, like, what are some of the core channels that you're leaning into using these segmentation capabilities?
So I think it a little bit backwards for me is I like to think about the content that I'm putting out there, and then how am I going to get these people to raise their hand and show some level of interest in what I'm doing? And I think that two things. Number one, does the content speak to the market that you're going after? a lot of people make the mistake of they're going to make some sort of industry guide or whatever it may be and try to get people to download that on LinkedIn or some other platform or some other place. And they're like, great, we got, you know, 500 people to download that thing. But are they 500 of the right people? If your content speaks to the audience that you're marketing to, again, it's going to shrink the volume of leads you're getting, but it's also going to shrink down to the right people. So if your content is, let's say, again, we're targeting, you know, HR directors for their MarTech stack for something like that. If your content says, you know, the top 10 things all HR leaders need to know about their MarTech stack in 2025, and the people that download that, that is going to be 100% the right people. So when your content speaks specifically to the audience that you're going after, then you're going to get the right people. So you can actually use your content to do audience segmentation even without targeting those right people. So I think that's a big important thing. And then in terms of where, certainly LinkedIn is a no-brainer. If you're not leveraging LinkedIn, I think you are missing out in a huge way. I also think that companies make the mistake of not leveraging pop-ups enough. People think pop-ups are annoying, that they shouldn't be doing them, that they're a waste of time. But you are driving traffic to your website. And if you don't capture that person's information when they come to the website and they're not actually giving it to you, not through some sort of scrape or whatever, they're not actually giving it to you, you're just losing that opportunity, the person that visited your site. When you have a pop-up contact capture right on the homepage of your site, pops up and it gives the person the opportunity to give their email address to get that piece of content, you're going to see at least 5% of first-time visitors to your site give you that information. And I would be doing that all day long. I think it's a tactic that most marketers don't do enough.
Jay, I just love the call out of thinking about content first, because as we think through, we've got a 4D framework that we use for all of our programs of data, distribution, destination, and direction. One of the things we talk about in the context of data is personalized messaging. So it sounds like as you're thinking through the content in and of itself, yeah, absolutely. Like what we're saying to these people needs to resonate with them. And the best way to then help really drive that message forward is through the content that they're using or that they're engaging with. So I think that's a great call out. So really, it's aligning who we're targeting, why we're reaching out to them with then the viable message that we want them to understand. Would you say that's an effective summary?
It is a great summary. And then the other piece I would layer in there is that not all content is the same, meaning that, you know, if you're going to put out a guide or a tip sheet that's way top of the funnel, and it's going to be good. You're going to get the hand raisers. Hopefully you're doing it in a way where you're going to get the hand raisers from the right people in the right industries, the right companies. But oftentimes I'll come across clients that are like, well, we have a great case study and we know that's spot on because all these companies will be interested in whatever. And I love case studies, but the problem is what marketers don't realize is that is for somebody that's really in market, that knows about your product or service pretty much, that has heard about you, and it's much more mid funnel. And while that's great, yeah, you're going to get much more actionable leads. You're going to get a handful of them as opposed to a boatload of more top of the funnel. And the reason I call that out is sometimes they get put in the same bucket. Like they're the same they're just content. Case studies are not content. They're not. Okay. They are a sales tool, right? So you really have to understand what is it that your go-to-market is. What are you trying to accomplish? Trying to get people kind of into that pipeline to start the discussion? Or are you trying to get people that your BDRs can start calling this week? And they're not the same thing.
Yeah. We often talk with people about not just their content types from is this a blog? Is this a case study? But also then content mediums. Like people engage with different content types differently in different mediums. Like, is it video? Is it a podcast? Is it a blog? Because people learn differently. So I love the call out of not just, hey, we need to segment out case studies. Those are a sales tool. But then also, I think it's really helpful for people to understand if you've got the right information, it may also be beneficial to recreate that content in a different medium so you can engage a new audience in that way.
Agree.
So now that we've nailed down segmentation of who we're going after, and then also different content types for destinations, I want to come back to distribution. How are you thinking about different distribution channels based on the level of engagement that these audiences have with your brand?
It's a complicated question. I rely very heavily on email. I think email is a critical piece of it. But obviously core to email is that you have the email address, right? So that's really hard. So before you have that email address, how do you get it? And I think being intentional on social to get that email address is really, really important. You know, go on LinkedIn and, you know, do post, say, hey, I have this great new piece of content. If you love this piece of content, DM me and I'm going to get it to you, right? And then capture that email address. Ask them to fill out the form or what's their email address or whatever it is. The goal of social, your LinkedIn following or Instagram or X or whatever, is to get them off social. That is how you should be thinking the whole way through. It's not like, wow, I have all these followers. Isn't that really cool? And someone might click on this and you know, comment and like it. No. How do you get them off social and onto your email? Because once you have on your email, then you could do all sorts of cool stuff and drip streams and all these things all over the place. Same thing if you go on a podcast. You know, what are you doing on that podcast? You say, hey, how can people follow you, connect with you, whatever. Your call to action has to be built around getting that email address so you can continue to communicate with them. And it's hard. Right. If you're going to be on Instagram, that's great. That can work for you. And B2B marketers, that can work for you. But you have to use tools like ManyChat, for example, where you say, I'll put you know, this comment, right, guide in the post here, and then we'll DM you instantly using ManyChat, which is actually free for most users, and you can get them onto your email list. So being intentional about getting them from social to your list is how I always think about things.
Yeah. Again, I love the call because there's so many people that are just keep kind of saying email is dead. And in reality, if you're using email exclusively to email people that have never heard of you, probably. Right. But if you are using it intentionally in the context of a larger program where you've already built some form of relationship, email is one of the best distribution channels that people have access to.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, there's a lot of changes now with email. You know, Apple has rolled out their iOS 18 and there's a lot of changes coming to the Mail app, which is going to make email even more of a critical communication and prospect channel and marketing channel than it ever was. So anybody that thinks email is dead is just doing it wrong. It's just that simple. It's never been more productive to drive pipeline than now.
I love it. Last couple of questions for you would just be, as you think through segmentation and how people are getting it wrong, you've already outlined a couple of things specifically around job titles versus targeting functions. Are there any other pieces where you've seen people get segmentation wrong?
Yeah, well, first off, if you're going after the small business category, which a lot of marketers do, I would always recommend targeting employee size 3 and above. Not, you have to make sure you lop off, especially employee size 1, and I'll tell you why. There's 25 million businesses in the United States, as I mentioned before, but about 14 million of them are a sole proprietorship that are really just set up so people can, like, you know, buy a piece of real estate or do something weird or whatever. So a lot of a fail is when you're targeting the small business category, if you are including or not excluding the super small businesses, you know, 1 or 2 employees, you are literally spending money on garbage, on air, because those businesses are not real businesses. And so you could lose that segmentation, like right out of the gate, you have to be thinking about. And then as you go further up into employee size and things, one of the other big things is where your cutoff is. You know, people go, you know, 1 to 50 employees or 100 to 1,000 employees. To me, that's crazy. I mean, the gap between 100 to 1,000 employees is wild. I mean, what a company that has 900 employees needs versus a company that has 104 employees needs is very different. They don't have the same budgets. They're not using the same MarTech, the same whatever. So really try to fine tune what you believe your audience is that you're going after so you don't waste a lot of time and money and get leads in the door that you can't even do anything for.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think people should probably actually just ditch the company filters and a lot of these ad platforms and just do direct list uploads. You're going to miss some, yes, but the level of efficiency that you're going to gain by going after the companies that you've already reviewed and said these are our perfect right fit accounts is going to be exponentially greater than those that you might miss along the way.
Totally agree with that.
Last question would then just be, as you think about anything else that people would need to know around segmentation, is there anything you feel like we missed?
More segmentation is better. I agree with you. Creating a targeted account list is amazing. Just make sure that you're revisiting that targeted account list pretty often, right? Because new things are entering the market, people are leaving, things are changing. Anything that you're doing in terms of your audience segmentation is not evergreen. You cannot set it and forget it. That is a total fail for your business. So it's a living, breathing animal, your segmentation.
I love it. Well, Jay, thank you so much for joining us today. If people want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Hit me up on LinkedIn. That's always a fun spot, or jayschwedelson.com. And I also have a podcast, Do This, Not That for Marketers. You can try that out. And I'm a huge fan of Scrappy ABM. This podcast, all things Mason, you rock.
Jay, you are far too kind. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you in the next one. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, we've got a ton of other episodes that dig into how you can build programs using your existing tech stack. Additionally, if you have specific questions that you'd like to ask, we host a weekly live stream on LinkedIn called the ABM AMA, where you can join and get your questions answered directly by experts. And lastly, if you're looking for practical templates, guides, frameworks, and playbooks, check out scrappyabm.com, where we're building a library of resources that help ABMers just like you get their programs off the ground. Again, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one.